Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So I don't know if you remember it because it was many years ago already, but it's still in my consciousness, and I think other people probably remember it too. My sister and I joke about it all the time. Do you remember that old commercial, old being, what, 5 years old? Probably AT&T commercial, where there was about the cell phone and how great their coverage was, and how other people would have to say, hello, da-da-da-da-da, talk, and then, can you hear me? Because you'd, like, lose the call, right? And then they'd walk a few feet, and they'd say, can you hear me now? And it didn't work, and then they'd have to walk a few more feet. It still happens, right? Can you hear me now? My sister and I still joke about it all the time because it still happens with our wonderful AT&T service. Well, I've been thinking about the whole, like, question about do you hear me now and the silliness that goes behind it, but the reality of asking the question, can you hear me? And reflecting on Jesus' call to his disciples of follow me. I think the question of do you hear me now is a wonderful question when we talk about vocation and call, and it's something that we as a congregation have been talking about for weeks, if not you all for years before I've even arrived. What is God calling us to as a congregation? And individually, what are we being called to? So perhaps we could have our own ELCA commercial or advertisement, and we could use the question, do you hear me now? And we could talk about vocation, but not just the call to the priesthood or to clergy or to a religious life, but to a call to vocation of life and ministry, all of us planted in the world where we are at, called to be about God's work. God says to us all, I think, this morning, can you hear me now? So not just follow me, but can you hear me? Do you hear the call? And I think it's also an invitation to say, where in the world do you hear the call? Is it right where you're planted, or is God calling you elsewhere? In a few weeks or in a week or so, I don't even know what the date is anymore, but you'll hear, you'll read the newsletter, I hope, and my newsletter article is all about ELCA missionaries around the world, especially young adults in mission, and the opportunities that we as individuals, not just clergy folk, but everyday folk who are doing the work that you are doing, can have the opportunity to be called as missionaries around the world. For a year, 2 years, 3 years, longer. Sometimes we feel that call. Sometimes we are called to go someplace completely different to serve God. But oftentimes, we are called to be planted right where we're at. So Jesus walks by the Sea of Galilee, sees two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew. They're working as fishermen. We know a bit of their story. They're casting a net into the sea. They're busy doing their work. Jesus says to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Can you hear me now? And what did they do, right? They got up, left their nets. Like, I imagine their nets being in the water, still full of fish or catching fish, and they walk away. Can you hear me now? Notice that that invitation to those disciples was not, listen to me. Not a command in that way. Not a believe in me. Not even a bow down to me, for I am God standing in front of you. None of that. It was simply an invitation of follow me. This wonderful text and so many other parts of our Gospels, I think, invite us into that journey of walking. The first step of discipleship for these wonderful brothers was simply that, walking, getting up and following Jesus. They immediately left their nets and they fell in behind Jesus. Can you hear me now? So moving down the road, they continue on their journey, and I wonder what these two brothers were thinking. I mean, were they just blindly following, or did they have some conviction in their belt, in their gut? Moving down the road, they witnessed two other brothers, also fishermen. They probably knew them, I'm assuming. James and John, in the boat with their father, poor Zebedee. They're mending their nets. They're getting probably ready to set them out to sea. He calls to them in the same way, and they leave both their boat, their nets, if they had any fish, and their poor father, and they get on the road following Jesus on foot. And then this passage ends with Jesus striding around all through the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, curing diseases, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is that kind of prophet, walking spokesman for the one true God. Can you hear me now? He is saying throughout the region. But one of the most important things for me in this text is not necessarily just the come and follow me, but it's the fact that Jesus planted himself in Capernaum. I don't know if I've ever caught that before. I always pictured Jesus just being a wanderer with his disciples. But in this text from Matthew, we hear that Jesus, after being in the wilderness, after all of the angst he probably had about John's arrest, what did he do? He made his home in Capernaum. He made his home. Jesus had made a home. He planted himself. He rooted himself in a community, surrounding himself with a town of everyday average folk. Not a fancy town, but in Capernaum. So this poor disciples, as Jesus yet is planted but continues his ministry, they need to figure out how to keep up. I don't know if he was a fast walker or not, so perhaps they didn't need to keep up with the pace, but they had to keep up with the energy and the passion that Jesus had for his ministry. To follow Jesus, I think, is to accept his invitation with passion and with clear purpose, to set a course in his direction. I don't think it necessarily requires the use of our legs. Thank goodness, since some of us have a hard time with walking and running. So it's not always a literal get up and walk. Sometimes it's an investment of the soul, of the whole heart, of the mind, and the strength from within. No matter what it is, if it's an actual walking or a figurative walking of the soul, I don't think we can be lazy. Jesus doesn't call us to be lazy and lethargic or afraid, for fear gets in the way. I think when Jesus says, "Do you hear me now? Come and follow me," I think we have to put energy, lots of it, into that endeavor. For discipleship, I think, is to be dynamic and passionful. Their response to the call of discipleship, I think, may appear to be super radical. May appear that they leave everything they knew and follow Jesus and did something completely brand new, when that isn't the case at all. Jesus said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fish for people. I will take your gifts and your skills and incorporate that into the ministry of what we're already doing. You don't need to go and be a completely different person. Come and follow me, and I will use who you are and what you are and what you have." I think very few of us are actually called to leave behind and launch out into new lives and new ministries and new experiences. Most often, the call is to stay planted and rooted where we are. Jesus made his home in Capernaum, after all, for a reason. I think we are called to understand that our life is now to begin with a new proclaiming explicitly within our lives that the gospel is for all, with a passion and a fire in our gut, so that when we meet new people and have new conversations, they will know, whether implicitly or not, that they are loved. And we will know that that love stems from Jesus Christ. Faithful and really dynamic following can look different in every community. I was texting with so many of my friends in the last couple of days, and their angst over their annual meetings throughout the country and a couple around the world. There are so many good things happening throughout the church, throughout the world, and each of us has a different niche, a different community. One of the examples that I have often turned to, which I don't know much about these days, but early in my ministry I followed them a lot, it was a congregation called Spirit Garage in Minneapolis. It is the church with the really big door. Door, garage door, get it? Yeah. They met in an old garage. And Pamela, who is their pastor, often had an important lesson to share. And she said that ministry is all about sharing your scars or showing your scars. One thing you need to know about Pamela is that she is passionate about mountain biking, something that I love, but I'm absolutely terrified of. As a result, Pam has a lot of scars from falling down and getting back up. One summer, she hardly wore shorts, she says, because her legs were so nicked up and red and bruised and scarred and scraped. But still, she was proud of those scars because she said it meant that she was out there. She was getting it done. Now, you can't be a mountain biker without being super passionate, right? If you know anything about mountain biking, you know not to break. Any of you mountain bikers? It's scary stuff. You have to go down the mountain at full speed, and as soon as you tap your brakes, that's when you start tumbling head over foot, right? You don't want to break. You want to just continue to barrel down the hill. You don't want to fall over, but eventually you probably will. And then what you do is get right back up on your bike and continue on. Remember this time not to break. It's that passion in the gut that I always admired about Pam. She was out there, and she was showing her scars. Not always literally, but she would talk about the congregation and how they are called to show their scars, to create authentic community, to build relationships that were real and passionate and full of God's love. Pam says to a lot of people, being authentic means that our brokenness is evident, that it's out there. There's no smooth polish or veneer to put on our failings as individuals or as a community. Active disciples, those who are following the call, those who are saying yes to when Jesus asks, "Can you hear me now?" They fall down, they get back up. They take risks, they try new things, they acquire scars in the process, but as they show the scars, the disciples grow closer, and the community becomes even more powerful and real, and the love becomes even more apparent. I think that question, "Can you hear me now?" can be also changed into, "Can you hear me now and one another now?" Just as the kids and I went around and built a little bit more of a relationship with someone new, that is what it's all about. It seems small and minor, but really it's about relationships, for that is where God's love will be known and grow. In the midst of relationships, in the midst of sharing, in the midst of community. So I think the challenge for each of us is to hit the road, to start walking, maybe literally, maybe just figuratively, but to hit the road, going and doing mission, falling down, getting back up, sinking perhaps, or then being saved, and maybe even helping our friend up along the way. We are not called on the journey alone, but we are called to be passionate about telling our story, telling the story of God. For that's what it means to follow Jesus. And that's what will attract others to also be active disciples of love. So, my friends, let's hit the road, shall we? Amen.